Hey, wait, just so I'm clear about today's topic, is this a Jason Bourne movie? Because you want to talk about asset location? Hey, it's Financial Life Planning. Matt Robeson, Mike Morton. I've never looked forward to an episode based on the title more than today. Asset location. Mike, does this relate to HELOCs? I still don't understand what a HELOC is, but I'm pretty sure it's a type of helicopter. And what you want us to do is fast rope down from a HELOC to the asset location. This is amazing. Am I right?
That's right. No. We are now in an action movie podcast.
Yes. Yes. This is financial death planning. This is so hot. I love it. Wait, I truly don't understand today's topic. I'm on a voyage of discovery here. What do you mean by asset location?
All right. Oh, this is great. So first of all, by asset, unfortunately, Matt, we don't mean informants that are hiding out in foreign countries. We mean your investments. Sorry. A little more boring.
Wait, no, listeners, don't leave. No, this is exciting because there's a subtitle. It says, asset location can lead to $74,000 in your pocket. Suddenly, I'm interested again.
Yeah, $74,000 is nothing to sneeze at. So assets are investments, and location is where you hold the investments. And it's funny, Matt, because I just had this conversation with another friend the other day. Remember, we did this episode on the different types of accounts. You've got taxable accounts and tax deferred and tax free. But then inside the accounts, you have to hold investments. So, you know, you put money in an account. What is that? It's like your checking or savings account. So you open up this thing called account, open new account, could be an individual retirement account. And then you have to put money into it. And then you have to invest that money in something. And I had that exact same conversation with somebody. So I'm glad we did that episode.
I'm glad you just reminded me about that. It's one of these simple things.
Simple things.
It seems so obvious now that you say it. And it's also so embarrassing. It's like in Spaceballs, it's 12345. That's the code. Oh, wait, that's like when an idiot would make the code to their luggage. And it's, oh, gosh, change the code on my luggage. It's so obvious. And yet I'm not sure that I do it consistently. But OK, so, yeah, sorry, I cut you off.
No, it's good. It's good. So we have
accounts. Glad that you've reminded people about that.
Right.
Accounts.
So it's actually a really good reminder. We have accounts. So you have a checking account, savings account. You have a 401k account. You have an individual retirement account. You have a brokerage account. These are all things that you click open. And they're held, oh, let's go a level up. They're held at a custodian. That doesn't come into play in today's topic, but they're held at Fidelity or Vanguard or local bank account. And then you open an account. Great. Congratulations. You now have an account. Then you have to transfer money into that account. Cool. Now we got $5,000 in your brokerage account or your IRA account. And then we need to invest that. So that's the final level. You have to purchase, make an investment, purchase a low-cost index fund, or a target date fund and own that inside the account. All right. So those are the levels. So what we're going to talk about today is what you want to own in the accounts. You can earn more money over your lifetime if you own the proper investments in different accounts. And that's what we mean by asset location, what you own. Maybe you own bonds. Maybe you own stocks and bonds. Hey, Mike says it's a good idea to own a little bit of both as I get older. I've got 80% stocks and 20% bonds. So you figured that out. Now I'm telling you where you own the bonds makes a difference, which account you put them into.
Got it. You had me at $74,000, man. Intrigued. Go on. So I think that answers the kind of the classic question. Why are you telling me this? Because it can make a huge difference over the lifetime of your investments.
Yeah, that's right. So let me tell you about my friend Jane. Came in, I was looking at her investments. So she's about to retire. So she's in her early 60s. She's about to retire and wants to know classically, hey, do I have enough money to retire? So that's what we're working on together. And she's got a $1 million portfolio, $1 million of investments. So great job saving, investing for a long time. She's got about $1 million. And we ran the numbers. She's going to be fine to head into retirement. It's going to look good. But what I did notice is that the $1 million, she's got about 70% stocks, 30% bonds, a nice mix. But I noticed it was across that breakdown was across her 401ks and her brokerage account. I had the same sort of 70% stocks, 30% bonds. And so most people would take that approach. Hey, I want to be a 70-30 portfolio. So in my 401k, I got 70-30. In my brokerage, I got 70-30. Do that. And what I'm telling you is, when I looked at that and looked at her investments, if we put the bonds in a better location and stocks in a better location within those accounts, she can earn an extra $74,000 over the next 30 years.
Got it. So, all right. What do you mean by a better location? Because, I mean, look, remember, I'm like a lot of our listeners. Maybe our listeners are smarter than I am. I'm still fuzzy on the, wait, you have to invest the money that's in the IRA. Hold on. Right. Just slow this down for me. So what do you mean by a better location inside the
So first, account? Go back to our other podcast about the account types and the investments. So bonds give you interest and dividend. And right now you can get like 5%. So every year you're getting 5%. So if you have $100,000, you get $5,000 of interest. Okay, so that's great.
Yeah, right, right.
Now, if you hold that bond, that $100,000 in bonds, if you hold that in a taxable account, you are taxed on the $5,000. You get $5,000 of interest, and then you're taxed on the $5,000 because it's in a taxable account, your brokerage account. If you hold the bond fund in your 401k, tax deferred, or maybe it's Roth tax-free, then you are not taxed on the $5,000. So in one account, you're taxed. In the taxable account, you're taxed on the interest on the bonds. But in your 401k, you would not be taxed until later, till you take it out. So there's a simple example. If you hold the bond fund, bonds, in your tax-deferred or tax-free account, your 401k, that's where you hold the bonds, that's a better place to hold bonds than in your brokerage account.
Because of taxes.
So remember that the taxable account has a big tax drag. And we had another episode. We prefer that you save money in tax-deferred and tax-free accounts. That's where we had that whole episode about, like, you're not using your after-tax 401k. We prefer to put more money in 401ks, 403bs, TSPs, because they grow tax-free, right? So the more money you have in just a brokerage account, the more you have a tax drag. Every year, you are taxed on that. Now, so how do we overcome that? Here's a solution. If you have your investments in a low-cost index fund, the S&P 500 total U.S. market,
right,
that does not spit off nearly as much interest and dividends as a bond fund. And then, so hopefully it does go up in value and you're going to pay capital gains, but only when you sell the fund. All right. So it's better to hold low-cost index funds, stock funds, in your taxable account. They have less interest and dividends where you have to pay the taxes that year, and you control when to pay the capital gains. So now I've told you two things. I've told you not so good to hold bond funds in your taxable account, and better to hold stock funds in your taxable account.
Interesting. I think I get the idea. So is this a situation where a recent discussion about money laundering might come into play? Like many of our discussions, they immediately make me nervous. I immediately start to say to myself, oh, gee, I'm probably doing this wrong. And we talked about on a recent show the fact that I started to implement the Mike Morton rescue plan, which is good. I've started to do that, and it's the beginning of the money laundering, and I have to take the next step. So just to refresh people, what you had suggested in that show was, look, take the hit. If you need to liquidate some things that are invested in accounts that are fully taxable, just take the hit now and start backdooring them into these tax-preferred accounts, because over time, you more than make up the difference. You earn yourself $10,000. It was great. And so I'm definitely going to be doing that. Is this another one of those situations?
It is. It's the next level. So you want to take your Jedi skills to the next level, Matt? This is where you go. So first things first, yes, we prefer to
complicated this is.
Yeah, complicated. Absolutely. So first things first, more money we have in those tax advantaged accounts, IRAs, 401ks, 403bs, the better. So that's the money laundering part. We're trying to get more money right into there. Next level is what you hold, the investments you hold in each of the accounts. can make a big difference. So Vanguard has research showing that the asset location, what we're talking about today, where you hold the bond fund, where you hold the stock fund, asset location principles can boost returns almost up to 0.3% a year. And that's where you get the $74,000 that we can save, Jane. You will get a boost to your returns of 0.3% a year. Now, that doesn't sound like a lot, but it really compounds. And on $1 million, that's you gain $74,000 over 30 years.
Compound interest is a hell of a drug. It really is astonishing. So I'm going to agree with you there, man. 0.3% does not sound like a lot. So I think people, since we want to avoid the audacity of math here, people are going to have to just buy what you're selling here, that yes, compound interest really matters. Okay, wait, I think I see what you mean by next level. So what you're telling me is everything you've told me before about like first approximation is still very much true, right? Get your money out of the regular accounts like I've done. And you gave a story of some of your clients who, you know, in all credulity thinking they were like doing the right thing, got their money, it was good. So actually, okay, I'm going to back this up. I'm going to try and define the levels of this. This is like Game of Death, and we're going to meet Kareem Abdul-Jabbar on the top level, okay? So the first level is save. That's good, right? Yeah, save
absolutely.
Money, right? The next level is invest. Yeah, that's extra good. If you make it to the first level, you're ahead of 95% of the world out there. So that's awesome. The second level, oh my gosh, I'm picturing you as Bruce Lee in a yellow, like, spandex tracksuit. Like, awesome. Again, I'm trying to turn your life into an action movie, and it's still very exciting. All right, so the next level after invest is, wait, invest in the right kinds of accounts, right? And that's where that whole tax preferred versus just all, that's where I got stuck, is the second level. The elevator's there for me, yeah. Right? And so I've got too much of my money in a target date fund and it's a target date fund, so it's invested, it's good, it's for my retirement, but it's all taxable. And so I'm going to have to do the legal money laundering scheme. Now you're getting me to Game of Death, next level above that. And I'm sure that there's, maybe we're not quite to Kareem here. People don't know this Bruce Lee movie. This is an astonishing movie. Did you know that Bruce Lee goes through, like, the whole idea is he goes through five levels? They based video games on this in this movie. And like each one, he faces a different master that's increasingly hard. The top level, he faces Kareem Abdul-Jabbar for no reason. Like, it's awesome. So I'm not quite a Kareem, but what you're telling me is, hey, Matt, I do want you to do the money laundering thing that I told you about, but we should have one more conversation before that, because all the asset locations that you could choose are not created equal there.
I wouldn't say it quite that way. I would say do the money laundering stuff. You're on track, making progress. This is a yearly activity, trying to shove as much money into these tax advantaged accounts. Once you have that rolling, this is just a serious upgrade when you talk about what you're going to do inside of each of those accounts. So rather than hold, so think of it this way, Matt, instead of holding the same target date fund in your brokerage account and your 401k account, we could tweak that even further and hold more of the bonds in your 401k and more of the stock in your brokerage account. And that will, again, boost your returns over time. Now, this is pretty Jedi level stuff, guys. All right. So if you're doing steps zero, saving, and then step one, investing, and step two, trying to max out these tax advantage accounts, your 401ks and IRAs, you're doing amazingly well. Congratulations.
Yeah, you're in the 99th percentile there, easily.
Great. This is just, you know, a statistic that Vanguard has that I've seen, and I know that it hasn't played into effect that much in the recent history, Matt, because it really has to do with bonds and the interest, okay? And we haven't had interest, right, in the last 5 years until very recently. So it didn't really matter. But now, once again, we have interest. And so it can matter, and it can save you some significant money over a long period of time.
So this is this kind of at the level where what you would do with one of your clients is, I remember we did this whole like figure out what's everywhere across all your accounts, because it's like meta level portfolio balancing where it's not just enough to get that simple summary that you might get from, say, your Fidelity account where they show you the little pie chart and they say you're 80-20 or whatever, stocks and bonds. You have to create a pie chart that goes across everything, multiple levels. And what you would do with one of your clients is you'd sit down, you'd do that whole exercise, and you'd say, all right, we're going to eliminate all these little inefficiencies, all these pieces of tax drag. And when we look across your whole portfolio, we're going to find you these tenths of a percentage point that will really pay off for you in the long term.
100%. You just summarized it.
Dude, we're not actually trying to do an ad for what people like you do, but it is amazing. Like, I literally don't know what you charge. I should probably read my bills more often. I literally don't know what you charge, but if you're making $74,000, I imagine that's a paying proposition. You don't have to comment on that. Many of the conversations we have a little bit of a quality like we picked up on in this discussion, right? Where there's levels to this. And you're really good about providing the, all right, here's the basic version that is a real DIY. You could do this yourself. Even like the money laundering thing, I think if someone really listened to that episode, they could go ahead and do this. I'm getting the feeling that for this level in the game of death, this is one where you really do want to work with someone with some expertise, or you want to do a lot of careful research before you DIY it. Am I wrong?
I think you can do this on your own, but I would go back and, like, if you haven't done step 0, 1, and 2, you're like, hey, start there. Let's start with the bigger stuff. So here's the actions for this episode. Make sure you're saving, investing, and I like your point too, Matt. Make sure you have a pie chart across all the accounts. All right. So if you haven't done that, there's a takeaway. The next thing is make sure that you have a traditional Roth and brokerage accounts. So you have a taxable account, a tax-deferred account, a tax-free account. If you're not sure, if you don't have all three of those, figure out like how you can get them. It's really great to have more tools in the tool chest. And so if you have money in all three of those, it allows you to play around with your tax situation over the years. All right. And then finally, if you're doing all that and you got all that, then you can look at the investments within those types of accounts and see if you can optimize which investments are in which accounts.
One final kind of question about this. My mother is a sociologist, and she helped come up with a term of art back in the 70s. It's called good enough parenting. I think about this a lot when I'm executing parenting fails. My kids are not living their best lives. I'm like, oh gosh, am I at least doing good enough parenting? The point of it was, she identified that many parents, especially single parents, face a lot of stress because they're like the CEO of their household and they have this constant feeling of, oh gosh, I'm failing at this. I'm really like, I'm screwing up my kids' lives and I'm messing things up and it's terrible. And that stress is real, right? Like, it really grinds you down. And so I'm hoping you can tell me, what's the good enough investing version of this? Because I could see this whole discussion kind of creating a little bit of stress. Maybe people are like, wait, hold on. You want me to create a pie chart across all my accounts and know what's in what kind of bond to what's in now? And I don't have that. And I have a feeling that you're about to tell me that I don't need to be that stressed about this. When you say it's next level, this is, look, if you want to get some support or really invest the time, this is a can do and it does pay off and it will benefit you. But tell me more about the good enough investing version of this.
Here's the good enough investing. First of all, let's not do the good enough medical advice from an ER doctor in your household. Because if you're not bleeding out, on fire, or dead, you're totally fine. That's good enough. That's good enough medical advice.
Oh, you get as much sympathy from your physician wife as I get from mine. That's what you're telling.
That's what I'm telling.
Great. Yeah.
You'll be fine. Sleep it off.
Your leg's off. No, it isn't. It's just a flesh wound.
That's right.
Oh my gosh. Your wife is the black guardian. That's what it is.
That's right.
Oh no.
All right. Good enough investing. Here it is, Matt. It's very simple. save 15% of your gross income. This is for people that are still working. All right, still have some time left before retirement. Save 15% of your gross income. Invest aggressively 80 to 90% into stocks. That's it. There you go.
And then, and when you're doing that, low-cost index funds.
Low-cost index funds. Yeah, yeah. Target date funds, yeah. Low-cost index funds. Yeah, that's good. That's it, man. If you do those
that's
things,
good
you're going to be fantastic. I say this to all my clients, too. My clients are usually in fantastic shape. They're great savers. They've been saving. They're going to be fine. Like, they're going to be fine. They hire me to just get some efficiencies and stuff, but also so they have the confidence that they're going to be fine. Take some stuff off their plate, get rid of the anxiety, tweak some things. We always find a lot of stuff, but you're going to be fine. Save 15%, save it in tax advantage stuff, 401ks, IRAs, invest it in low-cost index funds.
But, you know, there is, now to just do the flip side and to take us out here, I think these things that you outline, like this next level Jedi mind trick, asset location, fast rope down from a HELOC thing. One of these days, I'm going to have to actually learn what a HELOC is. These things are real. $74,000, 0.3 percentage points. Like, these kinds of things are real, and they can make a big difference. And I do think they're worthwhile. And it takes me back to the, why am I telling you this? And it's because you tell your clients, like, look, this is what we're going to invest our time in. And this is what's going to really pay off for you in the long run. And it's doable. These things are doable.
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. All right. That makes me feel great. It also makes me feel like in our next episode, you are going to defeat Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I'm looking forward to that. All right. For Mike Morin, I'm Matt Robeson. We will see you next time.
Thanks, Matt. Thanks for joining us on Financial Life Planning. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to and rate the podcast on Apple iTunes or Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. It makes a massive difference. If you have a comment or question, please email me, mike@mortonfa.com. Until next time, thanks for tuning in. This recording is for informational purposes only and should not be considered for investment advice. Opinions expressed are as of the date of recording. Such opinions are subject to change. I cannot guarantee the accuracy or completeness of the data presented here.